Come on, is that your best praise? Come on, is that your best? Come on, you got more than that. Is that your best? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Have your way in this house and in our lives today. Everything we say, we do, we want to give you the honor and the praise and the glory for it in the name of Jesus. And everyone said a big amen. Hey, as far as the, thank you, Ryan, for that incredible lesson on sowing. Sowing is so important. If you don't begin to sow now in your life, you will miss out on some of the greatest opportunities that God has planned for you. Because as great as God is, and as great as the soil is of your life, if you don't put something in it, nothing is going to come out of it. You have to do that. And whatever you sow, that's what's going to come up. If you sow corn, Ryan said it, they're chopping corn all around us. It's harvest season. If you sow wheat, whatever a man soweth. Everybody say sow. You're saying it pretty calmly there. Come on, everybody say sow. Because the Lord wants to work that into some of you in the season that we're in. The world tells you, this is the worst time. This is going to happen. That's going to happen. And I've been praying and declaring over people's lives, no losses during this time. And I'm so grateful to hear testimony after testimony after testimony of not only no losses, but great blessings coming into people's lives because they've been faithful to God. Amen. Come on. So be faithful. And Ryan got that message from the 8 days of hope about them bringing food to us. I had been talking to World Vision, and they wanted to bring food, went through all this stuff, and then I had a voice message on the phone last week, said, sorry, it's not going to happen. And he called me in the meantime, and I said, yeah, let's do it. They said they can bring us one or two or three. I said, let's just go for it. Let's take two. He said, wow, that's a lot, Dad. I said, I know, it's a lot. 1,200 boxes on a tractor trailer. I'm one. And I told him, let's take two. Double blessing. Double anointing. And then the Bible happened. I got a call from somebody else from World Vision. I said, yeah, I heard that it's not going to happen. Well, actually, it is. So your first truck comes this Wednesday. So that's three. That's Bible, isn't it? Three. So three are coming. So we not only need volunteers, but you know what we need? I need some of you that live in different communities, different towns, different places. Listen to me, those of you who are online as well. I need you to come. I need you to get some vehicles, a truck, whatever. I need you to load those up and take those back to where you live and bless people around you. Stevie, you're the first one I'm thinking of. You're going to be the new mayor of Perry. But we need some other communities to come and say, hey, I want to be a part of this. Maybe it's just on your street. Maybe it's in Batavia. Maybe it's just on your street. This isn't leftover, reject food. This is really amazing. And so we're going to do it. And we've been bringing in food and things into the community. Before this, we were ever in this building, we would store it in the barn on the farm and bring it all up on a hay wagon. And I think we got to pull the hay wagon out this week just for old time's sake. Ryan would pull it up on a hay wagon. We'd park in Centennial Park and hand out food. We've been doing that a long time. And we're going to do it a longer time because we're going to be a blessing. Because why? We were created to be a blessing. Amen. Aren't you glad you're a part of that today? Come on. I said, aren't you glad you're a part of that? That's you. And I want to say a big happy birthday to Mo up in the sound booth. Come on, let's give it up to Mo. And I also want to give a special shout out, Dave Tom's mother. He told me the other day, she's 91 and she watches at home every Sunday. So Norma, a late 91st happy birthday to you. We love you. Come on, don't we love Norma? I'm so happy to see all of you here. And Pastor Aaron spoke last Thursday night, did an amazing job. Pastor Ryan last Sunday, they just did an amazing job. And I'm so glad that you're here today, because it's an honor to walk with you through this season of our lives. And not only have we been personally tested, but the nation has been tested as a result of what has taken place in our world over the last few months. But I want to encourage each and every one of you. I just want to tell you, we're coming out of it. We're coming out of it stronger, better, with more wisdom, with more anointing, with more gifting. God's going to stretch you. He's going to launch you. He's going to give you great things. And supernatural occurrences, good things, are going to happen in your life. How many of you just believe that and you receive that today? And Debbie, is that Cheryl sitting next to you? Cheryl wants you to stand up. This is my next door neighbor when I was a kid. She lives in Lockport. So if you want to know something tragic about me, thank you for being here. Can you give her another God bless you? Love you, dear. Dave came down and told me, and you had sent me that message this week, and I was sitting here this morning. I was thinking about my childhood and growing up on Mechanic Street and how terrible it was. And then I'm looking up here and my daughter-in-law is leading worship, my granddaughter singing, my son's on the drums, my son here, and I'm thinking how my life has changed since that time. Thank you for being here. Got me messed up now. I hope I can go on, but I'm going to push through it this morning. Jesus says this pertaining to the times that we're living in Matthew 24. He said, "And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and they'll lead many astray." I'm just amazed by the relevance of this scripture. Look at that again. Matthew 24. You can look at it in your own Bible or on your device or however you want to do it. Verse 10, many will fall away. That word fall away is literally the word offended. It means many will be offended. And because of the offense, they'll betray one another. And they'll learn, because they stay in the offense, to hate one another. And nothing could be further from the plan that God has. And if that's not enough, there'll be false prophets. And I used to think that that was always in some sort of a religious, but I'm not so convinced of that now. When I see the agenda that some politicians have going forward, I'm not sure that they're not part of this false prophet that arises and tries to lead many astray. I don't know what it could be, a university professor that's just stirring up the hate which is within the world. And then he goes on to say, Jesus says, "And lawlessness will be increased." The word lawlessness means a condition without law because of ignorance. He says lawlessness will increase and the love of many will grow cold. This is such a serious statement here, that how Jesus puts this. He said there'll be those who are just offended and just refuse to release that offense from their lives. I read the scripture, Paulie quoted it out of Proverbs 17:9 in the New Living Translation. I know it's not up on the screen. It says, "Love prospers when a fault is forgiven, but dwelling on it separates close friends." You should write that down. Proverbs 17:9. Love prospers when a fault is forgiven, but dwelling on it will separate you. Being offended and saying, "Yeah, but you don't know what they said or what they did or how they treated me," causes you to fall away. Being offended and staying in that place, the word offended there means, excuse me, scandalizo, it's the Greek word scandalon. It means a trap. It means a pit. It means a place that holds you tight and that you can't get out of it. And you are the only one with the power of God in your life that can turn that key and release yourself out of that place. And you're the only one that can put yourself in that place. Because when you hold an offense, come on, am I speaking to anyone here today? When you hold an offense, it causes you to fall away from relationships, from God's blessings, from God's purpose for your life, for the future and the destiny that He has for you. You'll never get there if you stay in a state of offense. And then he says it leads to this next thing, lawlessness. It'll be increased. And the love of many, they'll just grow cold. Look at sometimes people and say, what happened to them? Something happened in their life, and they stay stuck on a particular place in their life, and they grow hard and they grow cold. But Jesus has come, my brothers and my sisters, to bring you and I out of that you don't have to live in the place of brokenness and offense and hurt and failure. You can rise up out of that, and you can be who God has called you to be today. Amen. Come on, if you're going to praise Him, don't mess around. But this is what Jesus says after that. Listen to this. And this is what I want to talk. And I'm only going to be just a couple moments. He said in verse 13, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. Oh, praise God for that. Come on, everybody, and say endure. The one who endures to the end will be saved. In verse 14, I've got to throw that in there because it says, and the gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Offended, stumbling block. Jesus said in Matthew 11:6, blessed is he who shall not be offended in me. Blessed is he. Lawlessness. And our purpose is so much more than this. What you and I have been set aside for in our life far exceeds this place. And we are called to endure, to persevere, not to give up, not to lose step, not to back away, but to press in and be everything that God has called us to be. And it's not just going to happen because you just, you know, you get a cross on your neck and a bumper sticker on your car. My brothers and my sisters, there are going to be moments in our lives where you're going to have to endure. You're going to have to work harder than you did before. Endure means the power of enduring an unpleasant or difficult process or situation without giving way to it. Endure. You got to keep moving through it sometimes. In Hebrews, the writer says in chapter 10 and verse 35, you have need of endurance so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. And some of us, we just need to be reminded of this today. I just want to remind you of this today, that you're not called to stop just because difficulty and calamity and hardship and corona comes. You're not called to stop there. That's not a place for you to camp out and stay stuck for the rest of your life. There comes a moment when you and I have to take that step out of where we are into where God has called us to be and be something that you have never thought you could be. Because you are determined, you're going to endure. You're going to move through this no matter what comes. I am not going to stay stuck. I'm not going to stay offended. I am not going to live that cold, dark life of staying in this holding pattern of negativity and brokenness and failure. And you may be here today and you may have failed miserably. You may be watching me at home right now and have failed miserably. Can I tell you, God doesn't judge you on your failure. As Pastor Ryan said, get up. Sow some new seeds, plow up that old ground, get rid of that junk in your life, and begin to move forward into the purposes and the plans that He has called and created you to be. Let me just give you these little thoughts on here. And I love this endurance. You know, I go to the gym every day and I hate every minute of it. I was reminded, I had a friend that I actually am going to a different gym now, and I had a friend at my old gym. He hasn't even gone back yet, but I remember he's He's just a little younger than me. And I remember saying it. I was reminded of it this year or this week. And I said to him, I said, his name is Art. I said, Art, man, I can see 65. When we get to 65, then we stop, right? And I'll never forget him stopping me. And he looked at me. He's big arms on him. Not as strong as me. He just looks stronger. I wonder if you're watching, Art. If you are, I love you, buddy. He said, we don't stop when we're 65. We don't stop when we're 75. He said, why are you talking like that? Man of faith and power I am. He said, why are you talking like that? He said, you keep on going. He said, you build up that endurance. You don't stop just because you get a little older. I'm going to talk about that in just a minute. Your endurance goes to another level. You keep on going. And by the way, I'm going to turn 65 next month. Strong. But let me tell you what it means to endure. It means you have to have faith in God. Romans 4:3 says, Abraham believed God. Because with faith in God, our life gets right. Not being good, but when we become joined with him, we become different. We become born again by faith in Jesus. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You have to believe. You have to have faith in God, because you grow by having faith in God. We finish our course by faith. We overcome addictions in our lives through faith. We have marriages that stay the course when we live by faith. Our finances will get in order when we live by faith. And some of you have never stepped into that dimension where you can trust God in the area of your finances. And can I tell you, until you do, you will never see the explosion that God wants. An explosion in your finances when you trust him in that area of your life. Romans chapter 1 verse 16, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. My brothers and my sisters, you have to believe. Not in ourselves, not with our own strength, not with our own wisdom, but the just shall live by faith. We trust God. We believe in him. And it works in every area of your life. Romans, Paul says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. We confess and salvation comes to our lives. God wants us to have faith to believe for him to heal our lives. We confess that Jesus is our healer. We confess that Jesus is our peace. We confess that Jesus is our provision. And when we believe it and we live by it, it happens in our lives. Endurance will never take place until you and I live a life of faith. And God, come on, who am I preaching to this morning? I feel God in this house. And endurance comes with great vision. Listen to this now. Abraham walking with God. And God says to Abraham, he said, come here. I want to take you out. I want to show you as far as you can see from the north, the west, the east, and the south. As far as you can look, I'm going to give that to you. It's going to be yours. But Abraham, you're going to have to look farther than what you're used to looking. I used to think that that was just a natural thing that God was doing. But there's a spiritual aspect to it as well. That he wants you to get your eyes off of your toes and looking down and being negative all the time. He wants you to start seeing what he wants you to see. He wants you to begin to believe the plans he has for your life. Not what somebody else says about you. God wants you to begin to look at what he has for your life and stop focusing on the negative all the time. Because when you focus on the negative, your vision gets dimmer and it gets dark. And the Bible says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 22 that the eye is the light of the body. And if your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are evil, your whole body is full of darkness. What are you looking at today? Where's your eyes? When you see everything bad, when you perceive everything around you to be bad, and you allow negativity to come into your life and rule your life, it will dictate what your future is. And when you're focused on the wrong things, it moves you away from the right things in your life. Come on, where's my woohoo people this morning? I want to hear it. Yeah. You got to be here to know what I'm talking about. You got to focus on the right things. God told Abraham, lift up your eyes. He tells you and I this morning, lift up your eyes. What do you see? And you're not going to see what he has you to see if you got your nose stuck in the 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week news cycle. This is happening now, and that's happening now, and this is bad, and he said this, and she said that, and all of this. But God says, I want you to know what this news cycle is saying. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. David said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I shall not sin against thee. The word in the beginning was the word. The word was with God and the word was God. John chapter 1 and verse 1. All things were said, were done by God, and nothing was made without him. Through the word of God. And you will never see the purposes and the plans for your life until you have vision for what he has for your life. And the reason this season has decimated some people in that area is through fear and through lack and through loss. But in the midst of it, God says, lift up your eyes. You're coming out of this. I declare over this people, over those that are watching at home, you are coming out of this. This has not come to control your life. Some people say, well, this is the way life is going to be. Not for me. Not for me. Because people with no vision can't see a tomorrow better. Held down. Held captive. Vision gives you endurance. Vision gives you the ability to see beyond where you are. Past COVID. Past failures, past disappointments, past heartache, past fear, past loss. Vision is more powerful than negative words that somebody has spoken over your life. Vision will lift you up and it'll give you a hope and a future that there's more in this life than what I see right here and right now. Praise God. Because your vision is your future. And vision releases great endurance in our lives. Come on, how many of you want your vision just to go a little higher today? Come on today. And then last, endurance comes through renewal. Renewal is simply the process of change, the process of growth in our lives. There has not been a greater experience in my life other than being born again than to have grandchildren and watch them grow. You know, when you're a dad, you don't realize the value of the children that you have until they're already grown up, and because you're working and you're going through all these, but then when the grandkids come, you stop and say, "Whoa, wait a minute here," and I watch these kids. They change and they grow and they develop and they become brilliant and smart and they continually are growing. That's in children, but God wants you and I to do that on a regular basis. Maybe not in a physical sense, but in our mindset. What we accept, what we tolerate, what we embrace, what we reject, how we handle challenges and difficulties and disappointments and fears, what we do with that, how do we comprehend that? And I can say this because I am going to be 65 next month, that sometimes people, when they get older, they think, well, I've got it all figured out, and this is the way this is, and nothing could be further from the truth. Stop with the, I'm too old to change. Stop with that. Stop with, I'm too busy, or stop with the, I tried it before, or it's like the guy that he joins the gym and he buys all the stuff. He's got the headband, he's got the armbands, he's got the knee thing. He's coming in, he buys the new sneakers, new shorts. He's coming in there, and a week later he's gone. And he thought, well, that didn't work. It doesn't happen overnight. Endurance comes through the process of renewal, day by day by day. Open your life up to the Creator of the universe. Allow Him in. Allow to let this refreshing come into your life. This change and excitement for tomorrow. Allow the old thing, 2 Corinthians 5:17, to be passed away and to allow brand new things to come in your life. When you lose the power of renewal, you lose the power of endurance. And I just want to tell everyone here today, open up your heart. Let God come in and change you. Get rid of the, well, that's just the way I am, or I was born that way, I'm going to be that way. That is a faithless, that is a lack of you trusting in an infinite God to transform a mortal individual as yourself or myself. Get past all that. Allow God to renew you. You are not done. Your life is not over. You are not too old. It's not too late. Your last days of your life may be greater than all of the former days that you have already experienced. And newsflash, for those who think you're too old, God is not following your calendar. He is not. And I'm not going to let Corona define what God wants to do new in my life. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to embrace what God has for me. I'm going to embrace the best that God has for me. And you and I both need to do that. Debbie, come on up. Listen to this. Keep renewing. Keep transforming. And the results will be that the perfect will of God will happen in your life. Renewal comes from right desires. Psalm 37, verse 4. The Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desire of your heart. Renewal comes through discipline. Don't be lazy. Deal with your flesh. Study the Word of God. Don't wait until your life is over. Renewal comes through good decisions. Decisions are steps to a new life. Plan your work and work your plan. Plan your life. Some of you have marked out weeks ahead of you. You said, well, we're not going to do that. We're not going to go here. We're not going to do that. How about writing something new? Throw that old junky calendar out. Get a brand new one. Begin to write some vision down. Begin to write some dreams down. Begin to write some hope. I talked to Helen Todd from World Missions Alliance. She said that her husband Chuck just got back from Serbia and somewhere else, the first two countries in the world that have opened up to let Americans come, said they had some of the most powerful meetings, led multiples to Christ. Some of you have never been on a mission trip. You've never been out of the state. For some of you, you've never been out of the country, out of the county. And God wants to maybe do something brand new. You know, part of you going somewhere else is just the process of you dreaming about it. Before it ever happens. Judy, I told her about you. Where's Judy? I saw you. Judy called me up the other day. She says, I want to go to Israel with World Missions Alliance in January. Would you, as pastor, would you write a recommendation? I said, no. I'll call the boss myself and say, there's nobody better than Judy Pratt to go on a missions trip. Renewal comes through good decisions. Good decisions. Renewal comes through determination. Not stubbornness. Some people live with an attitude of stubbornness. It's going to cause you to be offended and fall away. Ask God to help you with that. And if that's you, well, it's just the way I am. Don't say that. Say, I want to be what God has called me to be. Renewal comes with diligence. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't stop before God wants to do something great in and through your life today. Come on, do you receive that today? You need endurance. Just close your eyes, bow your head. Those of you that are watching at home, I felt when I was communicating this, some of you have never given your life to Christ. Maybe you're here today. You've never given your life to Jesus. You need to do that. You will not make it to the next level unless you give your life to Christ by asking Him to come into your heart. The Bible says to confess with your mouth, to believe in your heart, God raised Jesus from the dead. You shall be saved. I want to pray for each one of you today that God will give you the endurance that you need to go to the distance that He has called you to go. Some of you, I believe God, even by the end of 2020, when news people all over say, well, 2020, we can't wait till that's over. It's not over. You got 3 good months to allow God to do something incredible in your life. Father, I thank you today for the gift of endurance. Give us the power and the strength to do it, to be it, and to exemplify it in our lives. I pray for each one here today. Pray for those watching at home or wherever they are today, maybe at work. And pray your strength to be upon them. Pray great hope to be in their lives today. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said amen. I love each and every one of you so much. I'm so grateful for you. Go in His grace. Listen, don't forget Wednesday at St. Anthony's. The first truck will actually be there at 7 o'clock. And then this Thursday night, one of our favorite people, Hector Santos, will be here with us. He has a prophetic gift in his life. If you've never heard him before, your life will be greatly impacted through that. I want to say again, thank you for each one of you that have been givers during this whole season. I thank God for you. I thank God so much for you. If you haven't done that or prepared for that, there's an offering envelope in the seat back. There's 2 white boxes in the back. You just drop it in there. Things have changed so much. We don't take an offering anymore. We just let you put it in there. Go online to thecitychurch.com, push pay, send it in the mail, City Church, 210 East Main, Batavia, New York, 14020. Love you. Love one another on the way out. Go in His grace. He's given you great endurance.